Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
And welcome to Kirsty and Bryony's Comfort Zone.
I am Kirsty.
And I am Bryony.
And we are going to listen to some dreams
and try to work out what's going on in our heads.
Is this the musical episode? Have we decided?
Yes, I've decided it's the musical episode.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah. People immediately finally switching happened. Off. It's finally happened. It's the musical episode.
So, whilst I remember this, because I didn't record a dream I had, but it really made me laugh when I thought back to it. I suddenly remembered it. So I'm just going to get it out the way early.
Okay.
But it just reminded me because I had a dream that I was in a play that might have been a musical.
Right.
And my part... My part was the part of Log. And
Log.
I literally just had to lie at the front of the stage in a sleeping bag.
Oh my God.
That's how I spent the whole dream. Whilst the music and play went on around
oh
me,
my God.
I just lay in a sleeping bag and occasionally like peeked at the crowd to see, oh, they're really enjoying this.
Oh my God. Well, see, this was a dream for you, but this kind of happened in real life for me.
You played Log?
Not Log, but I think it was year 5 at school. We did The Lion King as our school play. And I had this burst of confidence. I was very shy and I was like, you know what? I can do this. So I put my name forward as to be Nala, I think. And I was like, yep, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be confident. I didn't get the part, but the part I did get was, it wasn't The Lion King, it was the year before, but in The Lion King I got the part of background lioness, and I had to run across the stage once, but the one that I'm talking about was Alice in Wonderland, where I wasn't as confident. I don't know where I put my name forward for. I might not have even put my name forward for anything. But I was casted as Blade of Grass.
Wow.
And
so
during
you just have to,
the
blow in the wind?
Yes. During the caterpillar scene, I had to stand on stage in my green outfit and sway in the wind.
Wow.
And that was my part. And my mum had to come down to the school to watch me be a blade of grass in the school play.
Oh. Did you go full method? Did you like live in a field for the week before?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. It's the only way to do it.
See, when I was in primary school, I was in a play called The Toy Maker, and the boy who was meant to play The Toy Maker was really ill on the night of the performance. I think I was like a clown or something, like one of the toy clowns that just sort of danced around in the background, and that was about it.
Yeah,
the boy who was meant to play him was ill, and then the boy who was meant to be his like understudy and take over if he was ill just started crying as soon as he found out, and
like,
I didn't think I'd actually have to do it. He just did not want to do it. And so the teacher was sort of like freaking out, and my mum just goes, well, Bryony knows all the words. She's like constantly singing the songs at home. And they were like, do you know all of it? And I was like, yeah. So I stepped up and I did the play. I was the toy maker.
Aww.
And the next day at school, the year like 5s or something
made me a medal that said, I saved the show. And it was literally so like a piece of cardboard that they had covered in foil and then like indented the words into it. But I still have it.
Oh, that's so nice.
My first medal.
That's so nice. I did the opposite. I was in year three, we studied the ancient Egyptians. And we put on some sort of play where we all dressed up as like Egyptian gods. And I was supposed to be Amun-Ra, or in school we just learned it as Amon. That was his name.
Yeah.
And he had a really big hat, like a really big hat, really tall. And I didn't want to wear the big hat. The big hat was silly. I didn't want to wear it. And I had an understudy. So on the day of the play, I was like, Mom, I can't do it. I can't go to school. I don't want to be a mom. I don't want to wear the big hat. So she called in and said I was sick. And the understudy had to do it and had to wear the big hat. He saved the show.
Yay!
And I didn't have to wear the big hat. Yay.
I remember there was a time when we were doing something on, it might have been the Egyptians or something. Either way, we had to like, it was one of those assemblies where we had to have a, you know, a homemade costume. And I think my mum literally like cut arm and head holes into a pillowcase. And that's what I was going to wear.
Oh my
and
God.
Then I felt really like silly about it. So when my friend was like, oh, I didn't get a costume. And I was like, you can wear my pillowcase. That's fine. Because I was like, you know, I'm going to feel silly wearing a pillowcase sort of thing. And then when it came to the actual assembly, everyone else was dressed in their pillowcases. And I was the only one in school uniform. And then I felt really silly because I was like, I wish I wore my pillowcase. So let that be the moral of the story. Like, don't let peer pressure make you feel silly. Or is it the opposite? Because maybe I should have been peer pressured into wearing a pillowcase. I don't know. There's a moral there somewhere. Listen to your mother.
Oh, here we go. I've Googled it. So it wasn't Amun-Ra. Amun merged with Ra, the sun god, and became Amun-Ra.
Oh, so and did the hats merge as well and become a big hat?
Yeah, a big, big, big hat. Really big hat with a bird head, probably. I'm just looking at the picture of Amon, and he's got like a little butt, just a small little butt.
Aww.
Right there. The artist expressly put in a little butt, and I really appreciate that.
I remember for my last school play, like my year six one before I went, I was ill and I didn't get to be part of it, and I was so sad. Because like school plays, like doing a school play every year was like a big part of growing up, and then all of a sudden I was just couldn't do it.
Yeah. I didn't have a part in my year six play, I don't think. I think I was just like a singer, like a backing singer. It was basically all the kids that didn't get a role, they got this one. So
that's what I was. And for some reason, we were all dressed up as Star Trek red shirts.
Oh.
I don't remember why. We all had to wear red shirts with the Star Trek little symbol thing on them. And I have no memory of what the play was. I just remember that I had my Star Trek shirt for Christmas and then I was ill.
The play we did, hang on, I'm going to Google it. So in year six, we did a play called The Time Traveling Toilet. And I was always under the impression that it was one that they just made up. But maybe it wasn't. But okay, apparently there's a book called Ted and His Time Traveling Toilet.
Dead?
Maybe it's based on that? I don't know. But essentially what, I don't really remember all of it, but it was just like going through history. Like I think at one point they went to Elvis and they might have talked about how he died on a toilet or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then they went to another girl and she sang Blue Moon. And then I have no idea what happened. I have no clue. I might have been more invested if I actually was given a good part, but
you could have played the toilet.
I'm not bitter. I could have played the toilet.
Oh my gosh, I just remembered another play that we did. We did this play that was about pirates. And I am terrified of... I'm not scared of heights, but I'm scared of ladders. And they gave me the part of the cabin boy who had to go up into the crow's nest.
Oh no!
Which was just a ladder with like a little cardboard thing at the top of it. And I was so scared. I just remember spending the entire play just like...
Oh my God.
It's like, why would you not check with the child? Are you happy to be up a ladder? It was just like, nope, get up the ladder.
Oh. Yeah, our plays... I think we did Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat in year three.
Oh.
I don't know what it was for that. I think I was a backing singer again.
The Dreamcoat.
Oh, that, if only. And then Alice in Wonderland in year four, where I was grass. Lion King in year five, where I was background lioness. It was specifically during the point in the movie where Simba and Nala asked to go to the elephant graveyard. Actually, oh. No. Oh my God, I've unlocked a memory. I wasn't just a background lioness. Oh. Me and one other girl had to share the role of, I think her name was Serafina, and that was Nala's mum. So I had one line, which was a big step up from A Blade of Grass. I had to go, what do you think, Sarabi? But I had to share this role because it needed an understudy. I had to share it with this one other girl. And when she was doing it, I had to be a background lioness.
Aww.
Oh, God. And then, yeah, time traveling toilet in year six. But yeah, I remember in secondary school, I don't know what year. I want to say that I was in like sixth form or maybe around GCSE age. They put on Chicago, which was a lot different.
I was going to say, that's not really a school friendly.
That was very different. But maybe that's why yeah. Secondary schools don't put on school plays.
I remember being in South Pacific when I was in secondary school. But then I stopped doing drama because in my school, they made you choose at a certain point, they made you choose between drama or art. And I feel like those are the sort of subjects that kids would want to do both of. But you couldn't. You either had to do like geography or history, drama or art. And I chose art, and I wish I had done drama because I actually really loved drama. It was like, I don't know why I chose art. It was like drama was like one of my favorite subjects, and I still went with art.
Man, we never got a lot of drama support at school. Like we did drama every now and then up until like year nine, and then after that it was just kind of thrown to the side. I mean, people took it for GCSE, but even then it was still like not something that people really thought was serious at all.
I remember doing like improv in drama, and there was one day because I was like a really shy kid at school, but for some reason in drama I had confidence. I don't know why, like something about the space. I could always be like a bit more outgoing. And there was one day when we were doing the improv and I said something, I don't remember what it was, but everyone laughed and I felt so good. I was like, I don't know why I didn't carry it on. Heaven's sake. I remember we did that thing where you had to like, there were two chairs at the front and people would like start a story and then they would keep getting swapped out sort of thing. And it was something about there being like an escaped prisoner or something.
Right.
And then it was my turn to get up and I got up and I just straight away like turned to them and pretended to be the prisoner, and I made them jump so much they fell off their chair.
Oh,
good fun. Oh, I've been really tempted to. I found that there was an improv group in Bristol, and I was very.
You would be so good at it.
I'd love to give it a go.
You're so like quick with your like. You just think so quickly. You're really good at improv. I think you'd be great.
I really like, have you ever seen Middleditch and Schwartz?
No.
Oh, it's...
I have not.
Do you know, I think it's Ben Schwartz. He's the guy who... Did you ever watch Parks and Rec?
I didn't. No, I didn't. I've been meaning to.
You'd probably recognise him from other stuff. And then,
yeah, I'd probably recognise him from Parks and Rec, to be fair. Like, you sort of know the characters, don't you? Even if you don't watch it.
Yeah. He's the guy who has, like, massive hair, but I can't remember what his character is called. But he's been in a lot of other stuff. He's one of those people who just, like, pops up. But, yes, yeah, the two of them doing improv, and it is very funny.
Yeah.
It'll be funny.
Yeah, it'll be funny.
I just realised we've been talking for, like, quarter of an hour. And
yeah,
I
well,
just,
we did say it was a
musical episode.
We were recording
a podcast. True.
It's fine. We only have two dreams today, so we need filler.
Oh, yeah. At some point, we're going to have an intermission where everyone gets, like, a tiny tub of ice cream for a tenner. With a little spoon.
a little beer for 9 quid.
Yeah. Do you like musicals?
Yeah, I like musicals. I've not seen many. I might be seeing Hamilton for my birthday, but I don't know yet. But I've seen The Lion King musical, I've seen Wicked, and I've seen Oliver.
Okay.
And they were all very good. Wicked was fantastic. I went into Wicked with no knowledge at all because it was just like a school trip.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And the songs are bangers. Really
I
good.
Want to see Wicked. I'd never really cared about it before, but recently on TikTok, I keep hearing that, you know, they're popular. You're gonna be popular. And I'm like, now it's in my head, but that's the only part of the song I know. So I'm like, maybe if I watch the whole thing, I will embrace it a bit more.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was great.
I know some people who really just don't like musicals. I didn't realise Alex's parents don't like musicals.
Oh.
And we took them to see La La Land at the cinema. Right. And literally every time a song started up, I could, out the corner of my eye, I would see them look at each other and roll their eyes and be like, oh.
No.
I was like, oh, geez, you're in for a long film. I love La La Land, though.
I've not seen La La Land either.
Oh, it's good.
I'm just thinking about, like, subjects at school now because of you mentioning drama. I was going to take media for a GCSE, which would have been really cool. But so the way that our school worked, we had three like secondary schools in the town that I went to school, and I went to one, and basically, obviously, and we would take GCSEs mainly at our school, but we had the option to take courses at the other schools as well.
Oh.
And there'd be like a bus service, so we could go there and then do a subject there. And media was being held at one of them. I want to say the girls' school, because there's a girls' school, boys' school, and a mixed school. And I was just like, oh, I want to do media, but I can't be asked. I can't be asked to do the journey every time.
Yeah.
And I was like, why did I not do that? What idiot.
Well, I had to choose between history and geography. And I loved history, but I chose geography, which I didn't really care about, because I really wanted to do, there's this thing called 10 tours.
Okay.
Which is like, oh, I've forgotten the proper name for it. It's like some big walk that goes around Dartmoor, and you get a group of kids and they have to like find their way. They're like unsupervised and you find your way around.
It's like the Duke of Edinburgh Award.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And my sister had done it. So it was one of those things that I was like, when I grow up, I'm going to do 10 tours.
Aww.
So I chose geography literally because you had to do geography if you were going to get onto 10 tours. And
right.
Then
that's
the way they chose the kids that were going to do it. They literally, this is such like a movie plot. They chose the popular kids.
No,
they chose like the guy who was like on the football team who they had two tryout walks. And he literally didn't turn up to one of them and was chosen.
And he still got in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they did like the leader of the
band and stuff like this. And it was all those kids, and then I didn't even get it. And then I just had to study blooming longshore drift for years that I didn't even
do
care colouring about.
In. Colour in some maps and learn about groins. Longshore drifts. Oh, I did history. I was the other side of the coin. Although my GCSEs, I did art, English lit, and PE. PE was originally French, but my French teacher was horrible. She really didn't like me.
Oh.
So I was like, I want to get out of here. And the only one that had a space was PE. So I had to do PE for 2 years. Oh, it was awful. Theory side of it was great because it was just biology, but it was easy biology. It was like biology, because I was doing biology GCSE at the same time, and it was the same stuff, but just simpler for some reason. And so that was fine. But then when it came to the practical stuff, it was like, I mean, I could do it, but they kind of expected everyone in PE GCSE to play sports outside of school, and I didn't. So it was like, oh, don't forget to bring your hockey equipment. And I'm like, what? I don't have hockey equipment. Jeez.
Oh, but yeah, I just remembered another juicy detail. That year, the people that they chose to do the 10 tours, they failed. They had to be airlifted out in a helicopter. So just saying, maybe they should have rethought who they picked for that.
Yeah,
just
maybe they should have. I did Duke of Edinburgh Award. I didn't have to take geography to do it. But yeah, I did Duke of Edinburgh. We failed several times. Tabs is playing with a beanie hat. Sorry. Anyway, so we went on our first hike, which was like a practice one, and we did fine. Then we went on our qualifying one, and it went great. But one of my friends fell ill, and so he was lagging behind quite a bit. So I sort of hung back, and I went along with him, and I was like holding his hand the whole way. And every time I tell the story, people are like, "Yeah, all right, he was ill." But apparently he was ill, so I was helping him. And then when we came into view of the campsite, I was like, oh, the campsite's here. So I sort of went forward a bit, and he was sort of on his own at the back. So we arrived at the campsite, and he was just a few, like, you know, just a little bit behind, but he was still like there. But the teachers were like, you've left one of your people behind, that's a fail. And it was like, are you serious? I spent the whole trip holding his hand and you just failed me? I was so angry. I was so mad. Like, I threw, like, I didn't throw a tantrum, but I was fuming.
Oh my God. Like,
and we failed. And then we had to do another qualifying, which we did fine. But we had to take another couple of guys with us, and they were really argumentative. So during that hike, like, I was just like the quiet kid, but they were arguing with a girl that was in my group. And I turned around at one point and was like, well, you just shut the fuck up. And they were all just like, oh. It was in torrential rain, and we were like hiking through a golf course, and they were just arguing, and I got so angry, and I was just, and they did not expect it to come out of my mouth. And I think we passed it, but in the end, I think we just couldn't be bothered to do all the extra stuff, so we just didn't pass. But the people that did pass, they went on to do the gold award, and they had to go to, like, I don't know, I want to say like Ben Nevis or something.
Ooh.
They went to like a big place, and they had to get airlifted out. So it all worked out in the end.
Oh dear.
School.
Yeah. It's just too early to be making life decisions.
It is. And making you pick geography just to do that is silly as well.
Like, yeah. Theory.
But yeah, I realised I said earlier that I did history, and then I said that I did GCSEs, which were not history. I also did a short course after school of history because I was a nerd and we liked the teacher. And then I ended up doing history at A level. So yeah, I did do history, and it was very fun. I liked history a lot.
I would have gone, like, if I could do it again, nothing really matters now, but I think I would have chosen to do biology.
Yeah, and, if I went back now, I would also choose to do biology.
Because I sort of
love biology.
I did film studies, which is a bit of a course.
Yeah. I took biology at AS level, but I didn't really gel with the teacher. You know, there were a few teachers I didn't gel with. You'd think I have a problem with authority.
You won those bad girls, aren't you?
A bad girl. They tell me to do something like, hell no, screw you, teacher. I ain't doing it.
With your bag over one
one shoulder.
Only one shoulder. You're scratching that S into
my
all the
cap
tables.
Turned backwards. Yep. Biology, two. I don't want to do that.
Chewing
no,
bubble
sorry.
Gum the whole time.
Putting the bubble gum under the table. Take that. School. But no. Then I went on to do a degree, which was basically biology. So yeah, got there in the end.
Well, shall
wow,
we?
Wow, we've been chatting for ages. We should listen to some dreams.
Yeah. Do you want to go first or shall I?
You go first. I think we've listened to my voice enough.
No, never enough.
Never enough.
Sometimes I just listen to just your voice track and...
That's fair.
Lie awake. I like that yours has named itself Subway Thursday.
Yeah, Subway Thursday.
What you mostly said and just Subways and Thursdays.
Maybe. I don't even know what the stream's about. What kind of Subway is it? Could it be a train? Could it be a sandwich?
I have absolutely no memory of my dream.
I have no memory of this place.
So let's find out together.
What
on earth is going on? Okay.
I had a dream that I knew Dan Stevens and Matthew McConaughey, but like I didn't have either of their numbers. I would just randomly bump into them. And I think I felt like I really wanted to friend a doctor or something. So I was walking around this park and I bumped into Dan Stevens and we had this nice chat. And he was in like period dress, just walking around the park. I think he was meant to have just finished a day's acting or something. And then I was at the cinema and like bumped into Matthew McConaughey, and I think he had like a girlfriend who he was living with who didn't like me or something, so he was like, oh, I probably shouldn't talk to you. And there was also some lady called Ruth who was staying with one of them, but I don't remember which. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I could contact Ruth to get in contact with them. But yeah, then it was like I was in this bank, maybe, and oh no, I think it's a restaurant. And all of a sudden, people started trying to like rob it. Like this big truck crashed into it, and all these people piled out. And then like Alex and I were like these really high up level of police. So Alex was like, you know, trying to like get all these weapons out of the back of the truck, and he was like, take this and go. And this guy came out he was like the leader of the robbers, and I tried to shoot him, but it turned out he was like a robot, and he was like, that's not gonna do anything. And then he shot me, and I was like, oh. And then he was chatting away to this lady who was a nurse, and I was like, help. He was like, no, I'm gonna leave it a while before she can help you. And then eventually she was like, okay, I'll take you to hospital now. And she was driving along, but then it cut to, for some reason I had this plan that I was going to like buy loads of bananas and then sell them off, and that was going to be my like money making idea. And I was trying to hide them in the lampshade in our bedroom, because for some reason it had like two secret compartments. But in one of them there was like this tarantula, and it was like in a cocoon sort of thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, any point it's going to come out of this cocoon. And I don't know when. And I was like, should I call a specialist to come and take away this tarantula? But yeah, that's all I remember. The end. Bye-bye.
The end.
There you go. Oh,
there we go. I love your side hustle.
I'm going to hide banana all the bananas. Dealer.
Hide all the bananas in the lampshade. But watch out for the banana tarantula.
That was like slowly coming back to me as I was listening to it. And I remember that I played it down. I was trying to act tough. But being shot was like genuinely terrifying. Like,
yeah,
it was like, I remember having that feeling of like, oh my gosh, this is it.
This is it.
It felt very real.
It's really weird. And it's going to, I'm going to struggle to find the words to say how, without sounding weird, but I kind of love having those dreams. They're really thrilling. Like dreams where you end up getting like, I don't know, hurt and people are like, you're there and people are like, I don't know, like you saying to this guy, like, I need to go to hospital. And he's like, no, like for some reason, dreams like that, I really like, I don't know why. I love the drama. Thrill. Yeah, I love the drama. They're so cool. At the time, they're terrifying. But afterwards, I think any kind of dream like that, I'd wake up and go, cool.
I survived.
I love that.
I feel so alive.
I love that. I feel so alive. It's so cool.
I'm gonna take it down to real town for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, here we go.
Well, yeah, I have been worried a lot recently about just the NHS and just I have a friend who works in A&E, and so like I've heard a lot from her about how it is, and it's mm-hmm. genuinely worrying. And I think it just is a reflection of that I was thinking like, I'm in danger, but I can't.
And no one's helping me.
Yeah, like there's just nothing to be done. This is it. And I think I think it was just about that. I think I'd just been reading about delays and waits and strikes and all of that stuff going on. And I think that's what it was.
It really is a big mess. And like people, like if it ever got to the point where we like have to pay for our healthcare, like in the US, like you're going to need those bananas.
Yeah, streamers are going to be screwed. Like we have no rights. We're barely human.
Yep.
We won't get.
We have no rights. We have no money. We need our banana side hustle.
Yeah, you're gonna have to start doing banana streams.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Maybe your mind was just giving you, you know, an option in case that was ever something.
Oh
that
my gosh!
To be
there's
done.
Always money in the banana stand. That's what it was trying to tell me. It's the bananas.
It's the bananas. That's it. You need
Speaking
to become like a greengrocer.
Oh, I looked up banana. You will be unsurprised by this.
Oh,
most dreams about fruit are to do with sexuality or sensuality. Ooh. Conventionally, the banana, because of its shape, signifies the penis. However,
ooh,
it is also considered because of its yielding nature to represent the handling of masculine sexuality.
Oh dear.
In conjunction with other fruit, it can be taken to mean fertility or sustenance.
I see.
There was no other fruit. It was just bananas.
Just
so
surrounded
that.
By penis.
Surrounded by wangers.
Just wangers all over the place.
It also
They're
says
everywhere.
Sea, food, and fruit. So I feel like it doesn't need to elaborate on any of the things I've just said, but fruits represent in dream form the fruit of our experience or effort and the potential for prosperity. The colour can also be significant. See colour. Okay, let's go to... This is like a fighting fantasy now. A turn
it
to colour.
Turn to page 39.
I guess bananas are very famously lello.
Lello.
This colour...
Lello, the colour of money.
Which is closest to daylight.
connected with the emotional self. Their attributes are thinking, detachment, and judgment. So I'm judging the penis. I guess. Yellow is the emotional self, green is self-aware, blue is self-expression and wisdom. Indigo is the colour of creativity, while violet depicts the cosmic responsibility.
Oh my God.
I don't know if this is true.
No, I'm not sold on this. I'm sorry.
Not buying this.
I think it was yellow because it was a banana.
Yeah. That's just they just are.
They just be that way.
I guess sometimes they are green. But these were ripe bananas.
Was there a reason that you needed a side hustle in your dream?
To pay for my bullet wounds. I don't know. I don't even know if I was like... I think I was so focused on the fact that there was a tarantula in the lampshade that I sort of forgot why I had bananas.
Fair.
I feel like keeping fruit next to a source of heat is a bad idea.
Yeah, especially bananas. Bananas famously, like, they're so potent that they make other fruit go ripe when they're near them. So they're doing that, and then you got them in a lampshade. It's not the best.
You've just reminded me of that, the Flight of the Conchords. Do you know Hip-Hopopotamus versus Rhymenoceros?
Yeah.
Just the line where he's like, my rhymes are so potent, I made all of the ladies in the first two rows pregnant. Yes, sometimes my lyrics are sexist, but you lovely bitches and hoes should know I'm trying to correct this. I'm going to look at gun. In dreams, gun. The gun has an obvious masculine and sexual connotation.
Oh,
if the woman is being shot, she perhaps feels threatened by overt signs of aggression or sexuality. It's just penis. All of my dream, it was just all, it's all penis.
It's all penis.
Apparently.
And who was giving you that gun, Brandy?
It was, I can't remember, was it Matthew McConaughey?
I think it was Alex.
It was Alex?
Alex pulled the guns out of the trunk and said, take a gun.
Oh, yeah, and then I shot the robot, and the robot shot me.
That's it.
My gosh, what a fool.
Penis.
I wonder if robot is in here. Robot means penis. Thank you, Brooke.
Wow.
Robot. Rock? Robe? No, there's no robot.
Oh. Should I Google it?
There is rocket, and it says, the rocket in basic terms has a connection with male sexuality. What a surprise. It also has, on the same page, rod, sea staff, but I bet I can tell you what it means.
Sea penis. Okay. Dreaming of a robot can either mean a lot of things or nothing at all, depending on how nicely you're able to relate it to your waking life and how wonderfully you're able to interpret it. That's fair... I mean, that's not the whole thing that it said,
wonderful.
But that's pretty... That's a pretty nice down-to-earth sentence to start with.
Yeah.
Just like a robot is confused, robot dreams can be confusing too. What's to say a robot is confused? Why is he confused?
Surely robots are the least confused because they are just given a purpose and they just do it. What is my purpose?
What is my purpose? Oh my God. Dreaming of a robot means that you feel controlled by the others around you, just like a robot is controlled by the others around you. you feel like you're a mere puppet to others, and nobody takes any sort of opinion from you, even though you are smart enough to guide them in their bad times. Who wrote this?
Well, I'm looking at...
Hang on, I'm looking for the one that says it's about a penis.
It's got to be in there somewhere.
The modern dream book explains seeing the image of robot monster in a dream with tiredness and dull routine.
I mean, he was not dull. He was pew, pew, pew.
Housewives who dreamed about robots are overburdened with household chores. Mostly probable you compare yourself to a robot that just does his job.
I've looked up spider.
Uh-huh.
And it says there is a great deal of ambivalence in the image of a spider.
On a very mundane level, it is disliked, perhaps because of its scuttling movements, but also because of its association with dirt. In dreams, it can also suggest dirt. Deviousness. I don't think of spiders as being dirty.
No, neither do I.
Spiritually, the spider represents the Great Mother in her role as the weaver. She weaves destiny from the body of herself and is therefore the creator.
Oh.
In coming to terms with this aspect, we become weavers of our own destiny.
Oh my god.
Maybe the spider represents my creativity in things I am trying to create for the internet, aka the web. Bum, bum, bum.
Ah! Oh my god, I think you've cracked it.
You've cracked it. We got there in the end.
You did it.
It's my creativity spider. One of my favourite cards that a shop near us sells is a spider, and it sat on a web, and it just says, I made this with my bum.
Ah. One of my favourite cards, which I can never get anymore. They used to do it at Card Factory. And I think I've told you about this before, because there's not much going on in my life. It's a birthday card, and I got it for my brother every year for as long as I could buy the card. And it has a picture of a horse on the... No, it doesn't. Shit. It says, why the big horse? Yeah, it has a picture of a horse on the front. It says, why the big horse? And you open it and it says, big horse, it's your birthday.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And I would buy it every year for my brother.
Oh my God, you should have stockpiled it.
I know, wish I could have. If you, have you ever seen that meme where it's like when men go back in time and it's like, hey, I'm your grandson, cool. When women go back in time, blah, blah, blah. Mine would be stockpile the big horse birthday card. I would give it to everyone every year.
Do you still have one of them? Could you look on the back and see who the manufacturer was?
No, I don't. I don't. It's probably, I mean, it might exist somewhere, but even when you Google it, I can't find it. Big horse. It was purple. I know that much. It was purple and it had a grayscale picture of a horse on it. But there are a few variations. Like, you know, I Googled it and it's one. There's one that says, I'm sending this card. Big horse, it's your birthday.
Big horse.
I wouldn't be surprised if the first time I saw that card, I just started crying laughing. Because that seems like the kind of thing I would do. It just amused me so much. It tickled me.
Big horse.
By the way, everyone, it's my birthday in February, so...
So please spam her with big horse cards.
Please send me big horse cards, thank you. Big horse, it's my birthday!
Oh, dear. Big
Shall
horse.
Shall we listen to your dream?
Yeah, let's do it. My dream titled Subway. I think that Subway is a train subway. Oh. But I don't know. If you've heard this dream before, please tell me, because I don't think I've sent it, but I'm always worried that I have. But yeah. Okay, let's have a little listen. Three,
hello.
Two,
I had this dream
one,
a while ago,
go.
But it's just come back to me. So I was in Hemsby in Norfolk, which is a little seaside village town where they have lots of arcades and stuff. Went there a lot as a kid. I'm there in my dream, going into arcades and stuff with my family. And we head down the road that goes towards the beach, and it had all been like landscaped and stuff. So in real life, it's like a beach that just heads down and bends around to the beach. The road bends down. But in the dream, instead of the sea being It was like a big rocky monument almost that had been built there that people could walk on, like a, in the middle of a park almost. And beyond that, instead of the sea, there was just a big city. We were like, damn, they've done so much work. They've changed everything. It's so different to when we were kids. And I kept looking around, and I think there were people like on tours and stuff, and we looked in the distance and there was a big shop that sold Pokemon stuff. And I was like, damn, I need to go there. So we started heading in that direction. I'm not sure if it was the part of the same dream or if it was slightly different, but when walking through like the back streets and stuff, there were lots of different shops, and you know, I was looking at all of the things they were selling in all of these shops. And then we found a Subway, but the queue for it was really big. For some reason, I think it had like a special
sandwich.
I can't remember what it was. It was something dumb, like it was green or it was invisible or something like that. It was really silly, like nothing worth queuing up over. But we queued up for the longest time to get to this Subway. And it was a weird Subway too, because it was like right in the middle of a big courtyard. And the queue went like all around the shops. Tabs is licking his butt near me, by the way. Sorry if you can hear him. So we're queuing up for Subway. And at one point the queue goes through this room, which is kind of like, almost like a LAN cafe. And because the queue was so slow, I took my shoes off while waiting. And when it finally got moving again, I nearly forgot them and someone had to tell me to go and get my shoes. And then eventually we finally made it to the Subway. But somebody left a sandwich there. They ordered it and they didn't take it. So I was like, oh, perfect. There we go. You'll have that. So I just took it. And then I guess I ate it. But I can't remember what was special about it. I really don't. It had something in it. Something magical. Magical Subway. And I never made it to the Pokemon shop. Oh well. The end.
There you go. Magical, it was the sandwich. I had a magical Subway sandwich.
I love the thought of it being like an invisible sandwich, just like the Emperor's new sandwich. They're just like, oh yeah, you can only see this magical Subway if you're super smart.
A magical invisible sandwich. Queue up and give us your money. I have a feeling this is two dreams smushed together.
Okay.
But maybe it happened at the same time. Like on the same night. But yeah. So we're in Hemsby. We were heading towards the Pokemon shop. It felt like, I've never been to Rome, but it felt like we were in like Rome.
Okay.
But in my brain, it was like, we're in Hemsby in Norfolk. And have you ever been to Hemsby?
No.
Okay. It's like the holiday destination of a lot of like East Anglia families.
Okay.
And it's literally just a little town, village. No, it's not a village, it's a town. And it has lots of arcades and stuff.
Like a typical seaside.
And caravans and, yes, and chalets and whatnot. And the main part of Hemsby, like with all the arcades and stuff, it's like one long road. And it, at the end of the road, it bends down to the left and then the beach is there. So at that point where it bends down to the left, that's where everything changed. And it was like this big park. With this big statue in the middle. And then where I think it might have jumped into another dream is we went across into the city and that's where the Subway was. And I think a lot of extra stuff might have happened in these dreams that I've just completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
Like talking to people or I know that I, when I was queuing for the sandwich, I definitely spoke to some people in this cafe place, but I don't know what about. But I just remember us, like, imagine one big room with two doors. So, like, one is an indoor, one is an outdoor. You go in, everyone was queuing around the edge of the room and then going back out. I don't know why, but yeah. And then we got to the subway, and the subway itself was a really weird shape. Like, it was like a shop that had been set up in the middle of a big clearing. Like, it was just a big, like, round subway rather than it being a place you go into. Okay. Kind of like a stall.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were all queuing around it. And then I found a sandwich that someone had left. Kind of like, you know, in Costa, where, you know, they call out your order and leave it on the side.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'll just have that one. So I took it.
I've looked up queue and it said C, line. So It says a line of people or a queue would suggest an imposed order for a particular purpose. If the dreamer is waiting in line, the purpose of the line will be important.
Sandwiches.
But you didn't want to wait in line. Does that mean you don't think sandwiches are important?
I mean, I love Subway sandwiches. I would queue for them.
Even invisible sandwiches.
Even if they're invisible. I wish I could remember what made the sandwich important.
I looked up sandwich, but there's nothing. There's just the individual elements. There's like in food, there's like bread and stuff, but there's no sandwich, which surprises me because you would have thought sandwiches are such a like comfort food.
What about just food?
Food, it says... Food signifies a satisfaction of our needs, whether those are physical, mental, or spiritual. It is something we might take or are taking into ourselves. Frequent dreams about eating suggest a great hunger for something.
Oh. See, I don't even remember eating it in the dream. I just remember queuing for it.
That signifies so maybe you're British.
I'm not satisfied. I am British. Yeah, I find that a lot of the time I dream about places that I went to as a kid. Which we've kind of covered, like, you know, school, blah, blah, blah. Like, I used to have a lot of dreams about my old house. I still have dreams about my old house, actually.
Yeah.
Quite often. And all of my old houses, too, like, because we moved a few times when I was a kid. And, yeah, they all sort of feature in some form or another. But this time it was holiday, which I've not really... dreamt of before, and if I have, then it's not been for a really long time.
Well, holiday says
being on holiday.
To be on holiday in a dream indicates a sense of relaxation and of satisfying one's own needs without having to take care of others.
See, that's kind of like eating a sandwich. That said about satisfying your needs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Eating food.
So at the moment, so maybe, are you just very satisfied?
Maybe I'm satisfied. Honestly, yeah. Like I'm pretty satisfied right now. Like. I didn't do like a soppy New Year message on Twitter, but I really wanted to but I just never know like what words to use. But yeah. I did really want to post one and just kind of be like, you know, it's been a really nice year. I'm so happy with how like where I am. I've made so many lovely friends and I love them so much. Like, you know, I love Briny.
Yeah.
And like I've been able to hang out with like other Yogs. Like Rithian is like one of my best pals and like just I feel so sort of happy and content with where I am right now. And I think that does kind of line up, you know? But I didn't post that to Twitter, so nobody knows. I remain the quiet, edgy child on Twitter. Sitting there brooding in the background.
Why don't you do one on the 22nd for Lunar New Year?
True. I could. Just be like, hey, all you bitches, I love you. You're great. But yeah, no, I think I am. I'm so sort of happy with where I am right now, especially compared to like a couple of years ago when I was still working at my old job. And, you know, it's just been a really lovely few years. Like, it's been so nice. And it's been a complete, like, my life has completely changed, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy. It's so nice. So maybe it's that.
Nice.
Maybe.
So I've had
my Subway sandwich and I've eaten it.
You've had a lovely dream about just being on holiday and having a sandwich. Meanwhile, I'm shot. And no one will take me to hospital.
This duality of man.
You know, I'm going to take you down with me. I've looked up sand. Sand says, no! Sand in a dream suggests instability and lack of security.
Well, the sand wasn't there. Oh, the sand wasn't there, Brainy.
I'm going to find the something
else. The sand and the sea. The body of water was gone.
Oh, no.
Yay!
Oh, I looked up
where
sandwich.
Where I expected
says,
the sand to be, there was only sandwiches.
To dream of sandwiches means that you're scared and alone.
No! I'm just surprised that sandwich isn't in here.
Yeah.
Or foot long. Seems like a ripe opportunity for this book.
It does. It definitely does.
I found a word in this book that I don't really know. It's when I was looking for something earlier. It says, do you know what a tabernacle is?
I've heard of a tabernacle, but I don't know what it is.
It says a tabernacle is a place where a sacred object is kept for safety. It also represents a temple. A tabernacle.
Tabernacle.
Because I was flicking through and it's got like one of the, like the first word on each page is in the top right of the book, just so you can find your way through. And because I've been playing Hades recently, I was reading it and I did that thing of being like, tabernacle? What?
Tabernacles? Who is this? Why are we thinking about tabernacles? Is it in your book?
Yeah, I just when I was, I can't remember what I was looking for. Maybe sandwich or something, but I saw it in the top corner and I was just like, what is a tabernacle? Or a tabernacle?
Huh. Tabernacle is a strange word. Yeah. I wonder where that came from. Huh.
Well, there you go. If we ever dream about one, we know that it's
well,
in the book.
I will now.
First, I'm going to find out what it is, and then I'm going to dream about it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice. Wow.
I'm glad we did our dreams in this order, because
me
if
too.
We had have done yours first, mine would have been quite the letdown. We're actually ending on a comfort zone, which is nice.
We're ending on a high note. Yay!
I should have recorded my log dream. Why didn't I record log?
Oh dear. Well, that marks the end of my dream backlog, so I'm going to have to start dreaming again.
I've only had sad dreams recently, so I need to start.
You need to eat a sandwich and perk up.
Yeah. Need to take myself
I
on dream
I
holiday.
Had some dreams last night, but I've forgotten all of them. All I know is that the cast of NCIS were there because I've been watching NCIS nonstop.
Oh. I had a dream a few nights ago that my old I suddenly realized that my old hamster was still alive and I was like, oh my gosh, I've not been taking care of her this whole time. And I was trying to look after her and I was like, I'm terrible. So
I'm so sorry.
I think it's
I've had dreams like that.
I've recently been thinking about whether I have the strength to get another little friend. I've been looking a lot at chinchillas because they live for like 18 years. So
they
maybe
do,
that's
they
the
live
way
a long time.
Just get a tortoise or a chinchilla.
That's it.
Or a parrot.
Get one of them long-lived babies.
Yeah. Or just adopt you as a piece of grass.
Yeah, just adopt me. But no, that's what's stopping me getting more rats. I mean, besides the fact that I travel to Bristol a lot, so I can't like have anyone looking after them. I've had over 30 rats in my lifetime, and they do not live very long, bless them.
Yeah.
It's like 2 years max, or 3 years max. And yeah, it's so sad. Every time.
Dad joke fiber of my body then was resisting saying, but who's Max?
Who's Max?
That is sad, but don't call me Matt. It's like, don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't you do it, Bryony.
Well,
right. We've been chatting for ages. We should wrap it up.
Yeah, but thank you, Kirsty, for sharing your lovely dream with me and for putting up with scary dreams.
No, your dream was beautiful.
I met Matthew McConaughey.
Oh. Well, okay, I have a question.
Oh.
For the listeners.
First question of the year.
Since it's not in our book, have any of you dreamt about a sandwich before?
What did it mean to
you? And what was the context? What did it mean? Was it a good sandwich? Ooh. Was it a bad sandwich? Did it bring joy? Let us know.
Was it a phallic sandwich?
Was it a footlong?
Do you like a good filling?
Do you like a good filling?
Oh dear.
Right. We will see you all next time. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much, Kirsty.
Thank you so much, Bryony, and sweet dreams.
Until next time, bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.